Welcome to another Carlin and Light Sports Show. I'm Robert Lightlaw.
I'm Sean Carlin.
Now, Shawnee.
It's hot, isn't it, Rob? Has it been hot lately?
Well, been 40-odd, yeah, a little bit.
This global warming stuff.
The ice melting.
Are you a believer of this?
I don't even know if I'm a believer. I've seen both sides of the argument, and I'm still sort of like on the fence.
Are you denying that our globe is getting hotter?
I'm not denying, and I'm not confirming.
You're looking around and seeing the impact that us as a species, like 7 billion of us, are having on the atmosphere. Like, who can deny that? Come on.
Tell me this. Now, like 100, 200 years ago, there probably would have been 5 billion people.
No, there wasn't.
How many were there?
I don't know, but there wasn't that many. We have an exponential growth in human population. Exponential.
Yeah.
And so you think now, like, China's population is decreasing and India's is just going, they'll take over soon.
Yeah, yeah.
But our reliance, and this is not an ecological podcast, is it? But our reliance on the use of fossil fuels and what we're pumping out to the atmosphere has certainly had an impact. But the point we want to make is it's getting hotter. We've had our hottest summer on record.
What about our hottest March?
And
February?
Not only that, we had our hottest day in Adelaide on record.
48 degrees, or 47 it was. And
it had to be. Remember in the pub down the road, Elizabeth offered free beer?
Yes, and Elizabeth South,
and
yeah.
They got a lot of beer.
You know, I remember that day, it was a Thursday, and it was like 48 degrees in Gawler, and I know I was working on the day and I had to drive up to Renmark, and I had the air conditioner blowing full on, yet I was sweating.
It was very, very hot, and it's probably, we're going to get more and more of those days if the information that's out there is true and the way that things are changing. And, of course, the reason we're talking about that is because we've just had a very hot period of time, and we've got a lot of people having to play sport.
Yes, or not play.
As the point may be. And so it has a big impact on what we do on our weekends and what we do during the week.
Now, Sean, I know we've spoken about this subject before, but it's a changing subject because there's different scenarios that arise all the time. And can you imagine, we're in March and we've got cancellation of games, and this is perhaps the most important time of the year for many of the summer sports because they're winding down to play finals sports, and it can affect the standings, it can affect how people perform in finals. It's a little bit scary.
It is, and there's been, over the last 15 years, I think back to the early 2000s, and I remember there was a couple of incidents where players went down with heat stroke in summer, and mostly pre-season type training for winter sports, and there was a lot of information out there, and I remember we were at training over 35, no training. If it was between 30 and 35, you really reduced your volume and intensity at training, and so the medical profession were putting out a lot of information. So that's like we're talking like 15 to 18 years ago. And in some ways, like, there's been a shift almost away from that because, yes, sports have to have their heat policies, but they're all very different. But then Darren Burgess with Port Adelaide back in like 2013, 2014, 2015 was advocating training in the heat because of the physiological adaptation you can get. And so you think, okay, and there's a guy who's a real guru in fitness, isn't he? And so he was taking the guys over to Dubai and they were working very hard over a 10-day period. He was saying, hey, you should train at the hottest part of the day and you'll get the benefits you'll get, the adaptation you'll get will make you a better athlete. And he actually said it was much better than altitude training.
Well, that's what I was going to ask. I mean, there was altitude training was a big thing back in the day, which started, I think, after the Mexico Olympics where some of the unbelievable times were reached then because of the attitudes that some of the athletes were competing in. Is the heat training similar where it affects different people to a certain degree where they can actually get good performances?
Well, it's like anything. If you are a very fit athlete, like our elite people are, you want to be able to put them in a situation where you're putting them under more stress than they're used to, their body, so they can adapt to that next level. And so I think for those really elite guys, then it can be a benefit. I worry about people who are sub-elite or even people who are out there just playing their social sport because they haven't got those adaptations that the elite players already got. And so they're really coming from a very different position. And so I think getting those things right. But if you're playing a summer sport, then in that sense, you're getting acclimatized to playing and training in the heat. as you go through the season. And of course now with our, you know, like all of our winter sports, and we take AFL as a prime example, you know, there's not a big break, is there?
No.
So it's almost like it's AFL 12 months of the year, and of course they're now playing. And of course we've got the women too. The women's AFL season is in the midst of summer. And so these guys and girls are now having to perform at very, very high levels in very difficult situations.
And so does soccer. The major soccer competition in Australia is played in the summer.
That's right. And so there's this interesting schools of thought. And even like you talk about sports like basketball last week, it was the finals for the juniors for the summer season. And of course, all of those games had to be moved to two stadiums that were air conditioned. The Premier League launched last weekend, and so teams had to play in different venues, and some were not air-conditioned. So we played down at St Clair, which was a fabulous, fabulous new stadium. That's unbelievable, actually. And so that was great for us. But the North Adelaide team were playing Mount Gambier up in their tin shed up on Northeast Road, and it's still like at the time that the women are tipping off, it's still like high 30 degrees, and being in those conditions can be quite difficult.
You know, it's interesting. I remember back in the from 85 to 95, in that period, I used to compete in a lot of triathlons. And whenever it was a really stinking hot day, I always performed better. My times were better, and I performed higher up in the finishing list. And I used to pass a lot of people on the run who were just exhausted. So it wasn't that I was fitter than those guys, because they obviously do the same work. But it was just my physiology was such that I was able to cope with the heat better than some other people do. So what's that about? I mean, it's horses for courses to a certain extent, but it's also different people react differently to different levels of heat and different levels of altitude and et cetera, et cetera.
I think there's physiological and there's psychological differences, aren't there? And so, of course, we are different genetically, we're similar, but we all have our own differences which sort of come together to give us our own characteristics in terms of what we can do well and what we might not be able to excel in. Did you at the time do training? Were you training more in, like, because again, some people with different, like, if like something like triathlon, if you're working different times, you might have to train at a given time where it's actually going to be hotter. So did you do some training, like, were you acclimatizing to those conditions?
Well, I suppose to a certain degree I was, because obviously I'd knock off from work and I'd ride home and I'd go for a run. And we're talking like 4, 5, you know, 6 o'clock in the evening, which tends to be very hot, because when you have a hot day, all the ground's hot, so you're running and riding in hot conditions. Yeah, so I suppose to a certain degree that sort of was how it was for me, because I used to have to start work early in the morning, whereas perhaps there's a good point to what you're saying. Maybe those other athletes used to train in the mornings before the heat came.
And some people do. Like when you've got that choice to train, you might modify your training to keep out of the hot conditions. Again, Darren Burgess, I remember reading an article back of his, because I was really interested in what they were doing. Like, he knew about altitude training, but again, he was saying, hey, heat training's better. And UniSA at the time, they have their environmental chamber.
Yes.
They can change all the conditions in there. And I took a group in there and we were talking to them, and they were doing a lot of, like the cycling thing, again, Tour Down Under, both the men and women's tour is in January.
Yep.
When it's the hottest, probably hottest month of the year.
Not this year.
And a bit different, but they still have some very hot days, didn't they? And again, they were doing some work with cyclists and the effects of training in higher temperatures and different humidities and so on, and the effects on their aerobic capacity. So, and obviously, the thing about the heat stuff is what they were finding, and to summarise, is that you can adapt to heat quite quickly, and your body you'll get some real benefit from that very quickly. And so even though you might go and train in the heat, you might have to reduce your training for a couple of days, but you acclimatise quite quickly, and then you can train at good intensity and get those physiological adaptation. And maybe that's what helped you with your triathlon. What they're saying with altitude is, hey, when you go there, because the oxygen levels are so low, you can't train at much volume or intensity. And so you actually lose conditioning, and then it takes longer for your body to adapt. But once you've got those increase in your red blood cells and ability to deliver oxygen to your muscles, you benefit. But of course, if an athlete's away there and they can't train at their same level, for a week, they're actually going to lose conditioning before they gain it. Whereas the heat, you actually adapt much faster.
Well, some of the observations I made just recently is they have different sort of levels of cancellation and when sports is not on that particular day. And an example was there was this particular Saturday, and baseball and softball were being played at similar venues. Now, the baseball go by a certain temperature in Adelaide because it's a whole of the metropolitan area,
yeah.
Whereas the South Australian Softball Association play all the games at West Beach. So they go by the expected temperature at West Beach, and the expected temperature in Adelaide was 40 plus. So the baseball for that day was cancelled, but the West Beach was 39.6 or something, so it was under the 40, so they actually played. Now, the observation I made is I was out there taking photographs and I felt the heat and I really struggled a bit. I had to sort of take some photos and then sit down for a while. So it was a really hot, humid type day. And I was watching the teams play, and I've seen these players play all the time, and I saw results just out of the blue. That Cody Sutherland Fincher, we interviewed on this show, she's quite a dominant pitcher. Well, she struggled. She was walking batters, and her team actually lost 16-1 or somewhere in that vicinity, and that's the worst defeat she suffered all year. And then I saw other games where Sturt, who were one of the top four teams, played Seacombe, one of the bottom two teams. Seacombe won that game like 16-3. So it's sort of like throws the results out of whack a little bit. I mean, with West Tigers, which was second, being Port by so much, it now guarantees that West Tigers will get the double chance and Port can't get it, whereas if Port had won, which was a 50-50 chance before the heat came. So it puts a different perspective when players are affected by heat differently. And when you're talking about the fitness levels, well, Cody Sutherland Finch is one of the fittest players out there.
And it may just be a coincidence, isn't it? Because, I mean, she's obviously been here for a while now and had a chance to adapt over our summer. Like, for example, we had one of our imports arrive 2 weeks ago from Minneapolis, so coming from the other side of the world, colder, and all of a sudden they're like, whoa, here I am, I've got jet lag, I'm in 40-degree heat. Now, Jordan played a fabulous game Saturday night. And so, again, you think, well, okay, you would go, hang on, this guy's got a good chance of not really performing tonight because it's add all those things up, but he really played well in the heat. I was talking to Mitch Deering, who we had on the show last year, cricket, and obviously finals run for cricket. So, again, trying to fit everything in. And I said, no, you guys actually going to play tomorrow? And he said, their cutoff is 42 degrees.
42?
42.
Wow.
And so you go, wow. And I guess, and then you think, that's so different than as you like. Every sport seemed to have their different cutoff. But again, cricket is a summer sport. And let's face it, you're going to be out there on weekends and you're out there in the heat. So maybe that they think, okay, these guys are used to it. That's what they do. That's part of the sport. But we're also going to take into account that younger, like kids, don't have the same ability to regulate their temperature as do adults, and then even older people again struggle, like you and I might.
Well, they do have different levels for juniors, obviously. Like,
and that's important that they do, that they really go, hang on a minute, we've got to take that into account, that the kids need to actually be looked after differently.
Absolutely.
And again, and then I think you've got to look at different levels, like your elite levels are different again than your amateur, and then you've got your social levels. So I think they should have some room to play.
Yeah, it's going to be a developing argument as the years progress, simply because we're getting hotter days. And what are we going to do in the future? I mean, obviously, you've got the answer with basketball that you have air-conditioned courts, but what do they do with cricket? What do they do with the women's football that plays in early year games? They may not be able to sort of cope with that. They might start having to go and play 8 o'clock at night and other issues like that, because the main thing with the heat is the sun. So playing at night time, even though it's hot, because we've had some hot nights as well, it's probably half the problem is keeping out of the sun.
Well, as I said, the temperature keeps going up and we're having more of these extreme days. You're right, it's going to have an impact. And interesting, we've just had like the V8s here, and there's a sport that really has to deal with heat. Mm-hmm. Those guys are in a car.
Because they generate the heat, don't they?
65 degrees Celsius. Now, They've developed a lot of technology. They've got their cool suits. They have fans going into their helmets. They have automatic drinking systems. And in fact, one of the guys had to come off. They took him out of the race because his system was failing. And his attitude was really interesting. He said, hey, I trained for this. I was okay. But the rules now and the regulations about looking after the athletes saying, hang on a minute, if this is the problem, we're going to stop.
Yeah, you have to have a common denominator. You can't just differentiate between this guy and this athlete because it's you've got to draw the line somewhere for the safety of athletes.
That's the thing the sports have to deal with. If everything's fine, no problem. But as soon as something terrible happens, we'll all be saying, hey, we should have known better. We should have done something about it.
Very interesting subject. I'm sure we'll revisit this again in the future. But thank you again, Sean. It's been lovely. Another Carlo and Lay Sports Show. I'm Robert Laidlaw.
Sean Carlin.